This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com, Symbiotica.com.
Welcome to The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson here with Tolliver, as always. And Tolliver, we have some new listeners again this week, this time from WNPR in Hartford and across Connecticut and Long Island, and WHRV in and around Norfolk, Virginia.
You know, Jeremy, I had the pleasure of visiting Virginia in my early 20s and was unfortunately introduced to the nastiest cocktail I've ever had.
Which is?
The Orange Crush. Okay. Strong stock in Virginia. Strong people in Virginia.
All right. Well, welcome to those listeners. Now, this is the 1 week every 4 years when the national media actually focuses on The Middle, Iowa to be specific. The reporters are parachuting in, going to diners, talking to voters, getting very cold. And it turns out, according to the highly respected Des Moines Register poll, one of Iowa Republicans' biggest concerns is immigration and border security. It's just one percentage point behind the economy and inflation. So this hour, we're asking listeners, what do you think the federal government should do about immigration and the U.S.-Mexico border? You can call us at 844-4-MIDDLE. That is 844-464-3353. Well, we for your calls. Last week, our show was about drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy that are being used for weight loss, and we got so many great, very personal voicemails. Take a listen.
Hi, my name is Jared Fixmer. I'm calling from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Hello, my name is Luann. I'm calling from Little Rock, Arkansas.
My name is Phyllis. I live in the northern suburbs of Chicago. I find it extremely cynical that we will not cover this drug for people on Medicare, and yet the compounding effects of all the conditions that show up after age 65 affected by weight gain is enormous.
I'm a family practice doctor here. I feel more often recently that patients are coming in just requesting their prescription and don't seem as open to incorporating a lot of the other lifestyle factors.
I was diagnosed as type 2 diabetic, and earlier this year, my endocrinologist started me on Ozempic, and my A1C is now down to 5.7, which is wonderful. So it's working for me.
Thanks to everyone who called in. It was not an easy topic for a lot of people to talk about. And we do listen to those voicemails if you happen to call when we're not live. But again, our number this hour, 844-464-3353. So let's get to this hour's topic, which is immigration. There is a chance that Republicans and Democrats will come together with some reforms tied to spending on Ukraine and Israel. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson took a group of Republican lawmakers to the U.S.-Mexico border to call for tougher enforcement.
Every state in America is now a border state. One thing is absolutely clear. America is at a breaking point with record levels of illegal immigration.
Now, it is true that in 2022, there was a record number of border apprehensions, more than 2 million, and it looks like 2023 could be even higher. Now, when Speaker Johnson says every state is a border state, that probably resonates with Democratic Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who represents New York, because New York City has absorbed more than 150,000 migrants as Texas's governor has been sending them to New York and other cities over the last year.
We all know there's a problem at the border. The president does, Democrats do, and we're going to try to solve that problem consistent with our principles.
So what should the federal government do about undocumented immigrants crossing the U.S.-Mexico border? We want to hear your thoughts. Is it a crisis? Should the border be closed? Or should migrants who are here be allowed to work legally?
Absolutely. Our number is 8444-MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. You can also email us by going to listentothemiddle.com.
Let's meet our panel. Joining us from the South Texas border city of Laredo, Mayor Victor Trevino. Mayor, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Mary Sanchez is with us, a senior reporter at Kansas City PBS and columnist for Tribune Media. Mary, great to have you back on the show as well.
Great. Thank you for having me.
And before we get to the phones and they are lighting up, Mayor Trevino, I want to ask you, you were elected mayor in 2022 as a nonpartisan. You're not affiliated with either of the parties. The Speaker of the House we just played said America is at a breaking point. You're on the border. Is that true?
We have a lot of challenges. We clearly have a big challenge this year at the border. And I do appreciate politicians taking a tour of our border. But we need to update our asylum laws. I believe we need to take or make an initial determination of their asylum request prior to entering the United States, especially over 90% of asylum requests are being denied when they do not make their court date. Now, having immigrants that have been given entry should be able to work, pay taxes, instead of believing that they will miraculously support themselves without money and without being able to get jobs. Immigration on the border is not one size fits all conversation. Now, for instance, we have been able to maintain the number one port of entry in the United States here in Laredo, Texas, and have one of the lowest illegal crossings without the need of a border wall. And some other communities have not been as successful. So you have to live and work here to get the real perception of what this border challenges are. Mm-hmm. Now, these are important things. I think by living here and working here, we have a better perspective.
Mary Sanchez, you're in Kansas City. How does this issue look from where you sit? Are you seeing migrants coming through who have recently entered the country? And is it something that's on the minds of voters in both Missouri and Kansas this year?
Yes, it is, partly because politicians tell them that it should be. One of the things I kind of laugh when they talk about every state is a border state. Immigration reporters have said that for decades now. We used to always frame stories around that because migrants go everywhere within the United States. Iowa has a huge immigration population. Mm-hmm. Kansas, huge, Kansas City area. So, I mean, the idea, they go everywhere, they being my own family. My father was an immigrant from Mexico City. So, you know, yes, it's present. I don't think it's present in the same way as the border. I've spent time in Laredo. I've spent time all along the border on the U.S. side, on the Mexican side, and crossed in many places as well. So I don't, part of the disconnects that happen is that people don't understand the systems. And we can talk about some of that. Even, you know, the mayor mentioned asylum law. Most of the people who are showing up at the border now will not be able to get asylum. As the laws are written now, it wasn't written for them. It wasn't written for that type of a person with that type of challenge. And for people to even understand that is difficult. Immigration law is very, very complicated, and people get muddled. Partly because, you know, why would they know? If you've never had to interface with it, you really wouldn't understand how complicated it can be.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's get to a phone call because we're getting many of them. Adrian is joining us from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Adrian, welcome to the middle. Go ahead.
Hello. Yes. I think we need to close the borders and put the National Guard on the border if necessary. Assimilate the people who legitimately are here for asylum and send the rest back. Corporations do not deserve they should not be indulged in having cheap enslaved labor. They should be, we should enforce the labor laws that are already in the books and have them abide by the law and not drive wages into the dust for legitimate American citizens. They need to hire legitimate American citizens.
But you, just to be clear, Adrian, you think that the United States should close the border, but for those who are already here, allow them to work?
No, not everyone. Well, I think that a lot of them should be sent back who don't have a legitimate claim of asylum. The ones who do have a legitimate claim of asylum should be able to work.
Got it. Yeah. Thank you so much for that call. Mayor Trevino, let me ask you about that, because we've heard, just in the presidential debate on the Republican side that just happened with Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis, both of them said everyone who's here illegally should be deported. There should be no, as Ron DeSantis called it, amnesty. What about Adrian's point that the border should be closed?
You know, one of the things as a border mayor that grew up here, the recent migrant and refugee surges have been like nothing I've ever seen before. We're seeing people not from Mexico, but from other parts of the world like China, Iran, Haiti, and South America. And my office is a couple of streets from the border and the NGOs that house the migrants. So it's traumatic to see young kids and babies being held by mothers out in the elements in the rain and knowing that they traveled 1,800 miles to get here. Now, I do think these immigrants or migrants that they call them are refugees. And that's a whole different story because they're fleeing from war. They're fleeing from torture, from rape, and from extortion. And a migrant is not only that. This qualifies as a refugee. So that's a completely different story.
Mayor Trevino, when I hear people say, we want to put National Guard troops along the border, that sounds really difficult to me. Is that something that's realistic?
You know, our major trading partner is Mexico. 40% of the merchandise that crosses into the U.S. comes to Laredo, Texas. Laredo is the largest international port in the United States. We have a rich culture with our neighboring country and partnership. It's built on collaboration and mutual respect and humanitarianism. Without these guiding principles, long-term success of any plan becomes tenuous at best. So the principles are that one of the major reasons Laredo continues to be successful as the largest port in the United States is that it is one of the safest cities with the fewest illegal crossings. And all this is achieved without the need of a border wall. I make it a point to have constant communication with our Mexican counterparts. Yeah. And for example, we see the greatest need to work together regarding our limited resources, such as water from the Rio Grande.
Stand by just a minute, Mayor Trevino. I just want to remind our listeners that The Middle is available as a podcast in partnership with iHeart Podcasts on the iHeart app or wherever you listen to podcasts. And Tolliver, one of the biggest immigration reform bills that actually passed in this country was in 1986.
Yes, my birth year. Here's CBS News anchor Dan Rather talking about the passage of the 1986 Immigration Reform Act under President Reagan.
President Reagan did sign the sweeping new Immigration Reform Act today. He said it protects the sacred possession of American citizenship. Millions of illegal aliens will be eligible for amnesty and will be able to apply for legal residency status, no questions asked. But no such bright futures for other aliens, ones who arrived after the cutoff date. The new law increases the chances that they'll lose their reason for being here, their jobs.
Just hearing him say illegal aliens is a change from what we would probably hear a news anchor say today. By the way, podcast listeners, if you would like to donate to The Middle, it would make a huge difference. We're trying to get on the road leading up to the election this year, and your contributions help. They're tax deductible thanks to a partnership with Journalism Funding Partners. You can do that at listentothemiddle.com. Meanwhile, we'll be right back after this.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code iHeart for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. Symbiotica.com.
This is The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. If you're just tuning in, The Middle is a national call-in show. We're focused on elevating voices from the middle, geographically, politically, and philosophically, or maybe you just want to meet in the middle. This hour, we're asking, what do you think the federal government should be doing about immigration and border security? Tolliver, what is that number to call in?
It's 8444-MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. You can also write to us at listentothemiddle.com or on social media.
We're joined by Laredo, Texas Mayor Victor Trevino and Mary Sanchez, senior reporter at Kansas City PBS and a columnist for Tribune Media. Mary Sanchez, we talked about all the migrants who have been sent to some of the big cities in this country, like New York, Chicago, Denver, many of whom are living in shelters supported by local taxpayers. Is it realistic to allow the migrants who are here in those cities to work legally in the U.S. while they wait for the immigration or asylum process to play out? That's what the Biden administration just did with many Venezuelans who are living in the United States.
Yes, I would say it not only is possible, feasible, it needs to happen. I mean, people need to be able to support themselves. They need to be processed. This is all, you know, I wrote a column early on when they first started that little scheme, and it was a scheme to just throw people on buses and try and make, you know, Democratic-led cities look bad. The people want to go to cities where they have family. They want to work. In a way, that was kind of true. It kind of helped them get there, but it wasn't done in coordination with the federal government. If it was done in a coordinated way, if everyone was processed and checked, that would be a good thing. That is how immigration is supposed to work. But instead, the Texas governor, Governor Abbott, started doing it as a political little ploy that he could talk about. And that it's offensive to those migrants, or, you know, refugees, as you know, that's a legal status. But I totally agree with the mayor in his assessment of who the people are. They're incredibly desperate. They've gone through hell and back just to get here. That doesn't mean that they necessarily everyone should be allowed to stay. Mm-hmm. But we can do the processes so that, yes, it could happen. And you could help them. We had some of the buses come through here, and it was done a little undercover, but we had some support groups here in a church, frankly,
yeah,
and some immigration attorneys that met with them overnight, fed them, allowed, cared for people, and then kind of helped them get on their way.
It has shown,
the border is everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've also seen, as you say, the kindness of people is everywhere. But that being said, you know, the cost is going up. Denver's spending apparently $2 million a week sheltering migrants. New York has spent more than $1.7 billion so far. Chicago, $320 million. So it is stressing a lot of these places. Let's go to another call who is in Houston, Texas. Romy is joining us. Romy, welcome to The Middle. What do you think the U.S. government should do about immigration?
I have no question. The United States government needs to complete the wall. We need to keep illegal aliens out of this nation. We don't know what kind of diseases these people carry. don't know what they're doing. Anybody can see they're fleeing violence. They found hundreds on the terror watching list. We don't know if our hundreds who were claiming they were fleeing violence, they were part of the Mexican drug cartel. So anybody can put their story together at the border. America is not the dumping ground for illegal aliens.
Romy, thank you for that call. Mayor Trevino, I'm sure in the state of Texas, maybe not right where you are in Laredo, but in the state of Texas, you've heard that view. What do you say to people when they say that? Build the wall.
Yeah, like I said, as someone that was born and raised in the border and a local doctor that has practiced on both sides of the river, I see some unvarnished realities of human beings looking for work and better life. And it always disappoints me to hear proposals that have no context are based on nativism, especially for people that do not live here. Proposals like sending active U.S. military deals with cartels or creating citizen militias to guard a border would not work. In the end, these proposals will only deteriorate local public support. It will damage our relationship with our partner in Mexico. It would also have opposite impact by further incentivizing drug cartels to charge more for human trafficking and high demand drugs that are being smuggled into the United States.
Yeah, One of the things, Jeremy, to point out is, you know, there's a lot of terms and I understand how they get used, but you really can't close. I always want to say, what do people mean by close the border? It's not like it's a door. There are places where a wall has been very effective and where walls can be effective as barriers. There's also those ports where millions of dollars worth of goods needs to be able to cross every single day in both directions. The border is almost 2,000 miles long. Part of it is water. Part of it is mountain range. Part of it is desert. 75 miles of it in Arizona is sovereign Indian nation land. It's the Tohono Indian nation land. We don't have rights there. They have their own border security. So when people use those terms, I think partly they haven't literally been to the border to know. And so that it kind of disrupts a conversation that could be more thoughtful because they simply don't know. And that's not their fault. I don't mean that in a demeaning way to say that people are ignorant. They literally don't know. You can often tell how little someone knows about immigration law, about the border, about the difference between a refugee and asylum, an immigrant, a work visa, simply by how they frame the question or their comment.
Although for some people in this country, I guess what they would need to know is that the immigrant family that moved into their town, wherever it is willing to work a job that that for less money than their kid or than their friend in the town or whatever. And so it may be impacting them in that way. And so that's what they know about it.
They know that, or I guarantee you, if you looked in almost the back end of any restaurant, almost any restaurant, high, low end, and my father was a chef, and he was legal. So before anyone starts any of that, he actually got his citizenship after he fought in World War II for this country. Wow. And that is a very common story, particularly for migrants from Mexico. Anyway, if you looked in the restaurant industry alone, it is run by immigrant labor. And some of it is undocumented. Not because people don't want the documentation, but because it's so difficult to get it. You mentioned that the last big immigration overhaul of our laws by Congress, which does control it, was in 1986. There was a little tweak in 92. That's a long time ago. The world has changed. Our demographic needs have changed. We need more labor. There's the baby boomers are aging out.
Right.
We don't have enough labor.
Let's go to another call. Tina is with us from Tampa, Florida. Tina, welcome to the middle. Go ahead.
Hello. Very nice to get to speak to you. Real quick, I don't understand this thing about making the immigrants the enemy. I come from immigrant family. Immigrants are valuable assets to our country. And what we really need is an entryway, the same way we had Ellis Island, where people can be processed. We can find out who they are. We can assign them some sort of number, like a Social Security type number, so that they can pay taxes. And they do jobs that other people don't want to do. The fruit is rotting over here if we don't have people to pick it. And our people don't want to do it. And just as soon as Ron DeSantis provides a new law, more people leave in fear to go to some other state. I think that we just need a process so they can come in legally. And we can know who they are, and they can have, whether you fingerprint them or whatever you do, they've entered our country. We now have, they have access to us, and we have access to them, and they can provide for our country.
Tina, thank you so much for that call. Mayor Trevino, I want to ask you, just following that to its conclusion, in order for people to be processed, there has to be enough immigration judges and all kinds of people that would work for the government to do that. We're very far away from that right now, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And immigration reform is long overdue. And one of the challenges is to remove the belief that the United States is solely responsible only for border security on our southern border. Even with all the law enforcement agencies on the border, this cannot be achieved alone. The United States needs collaboration from its principal trade partner, Mexico. Collaboration must begin with mutual respect and not finger pointing, investing more on resources in joint drug task forces, immigration policy programs in Mexico and online. This could dramatically reduce the caravans of immigrants unsuccessfully risking their lives to travel thousands of miles to reach the U.S. border. So I think that that's crucial and important.
Let's go to Isaac in St. Paul, Minnesota. Isaac, welcome to the middle. What do you think the government should do about immigration?
Well, so my point is, I was an illegal immigrant about 15 years ago who came to the U.S. And I'm one of the fortunate that actually got the path to citizenship. So, you know, I believe that allowing immigrants to become citizens honors the American dream. By offering a chance for a better life filled with hope, hard work, and the pursuit of happiness for everyone, including me, no matter where we came from.
How did you get into the country?
I'm Ecuadorian. I crossed the border like everybody else. That was a long time ago. I settled in Minnesota about 15 years ago. I found my way to a path to citizenship. Right now, I am an IT officer working in Minnesota for one of the Fortune 500 companies, and I'm grateful, you know, and that's why I honestly believe that everyone should be given the chance, the people that are already here, my peers, the people that are going to come, because I believe the American dream is, you know, making immigrants' dream come true. That's what I believe.
Let me ask you one more thing. You sound pretty young. I mean, I can't tell for sure, but you sound pretty young. How young were you when you came across into the United States?
I was about 12 years old when I crossed the border with my family.
Got it. Isaac, thank you so much for that call. That's really, really fascinating. Yeah. Let me get to another one here. Noel, who's in Poughkeepsie, New York. Noel, welcome to the middle. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to comment on the topic regarding immigration.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, yes. We can hear you. Go ahead.
So here's a couple of thoughts. I think overall, as far as the government is concerned, I think we prostituted the American citizenship for political expediency. It's been so many years that we've been discussing this issue, right? We hear about jobs. We hear about humans, the mother and the child. And I think that taps into that human emotional part of us to make us feel guilty if we don't accept people into the country. So here's the other point. A law is only legal when it's enforced. And right now, there is no immigration law. That's the bottom line. I mean, however you want to spin it, because the law is not being enforced consistently. On a micro level, in my home, I have a front door and a back door. While I'm away from that home, if someone comes into my back door while I'm gone and help themselves to my food and to my house, basically, and I come in and find this person, right now we're kind of saying, okay, let's just allow that person to be there, right? We would not do that in our own house, but yet we do that in the country. We have people standing in line legitimately waiting for citizenship to to get into the country. However, yeah. we're allowing other flux of people to come in. So I think that's sort of the problem. We would not allow that in our own home. Either we're going to be a country with laws regarding citizenship, and I think we've lost that value with regards to citizenship.
Well, Noel, we've got it, and thank you so much for that call. I want to go to Mary Sanchez on a lot of points there, but what about that point that, you know, if you allow people who have come in illegally, then what about the people who have gone through the process in the proper way?
Well, that's the people who are showing up at the border are doing, at the southern border actually are doing it legally. It is illegal. It's their legal. It's an international right even to apply for asylum.
If they're claiming
asylum,
they
are legal.
Yes, right.
But I hear the caller. I know what he's saying. And here's part of the truth of how broken our system is. Even people who are deemed in a like more positive light, we've done whole documentaries here on this, particularly immigrants from India who came here on a work visa. It's called an H-1B. Mm-hmm. For them to become U.S. citizens, the wait is more than 200 years now because there's a tapped out number and Congress will not raise the number. These are people who are your IT people. They're doctors. They're very highly skilled. It's for people with a college degree and more. They generally have even masters and much, much higher degrees. They're much brighter than I am, quite honestly. And it's a 200-year wait. They will die before they will ever be able to be legal.
Why
that visa runs out?
Why is it such a hard issue, Mayor Trevino, for Congress to sort of? Everybody recognizes that there's a problem. Why is it so hard for the two parties to say, okay, this is how we're going to fix this problem?
I guess the answer to that is political, of course. And asylum's a legal process, and we believe in laws. We're a country of laws. The problem is resources and reform. Now, the U.S. is the beacon of freedom and opportunity. Here in Laredo, I signed the Declaration of Emergency last year before the government was about to shut down because immigration is a federal responsibility and we're having to look at it at a local level and struggling to be met. Now, you can't imagine having a federal government shut down. We would be overwhelmed. So I think these things are federal issues and that impacts us locally. And we have to look at this in a legal way, in a reform way, and in a humanitarian way.
Tolliver, I know some comments are coming in online at listentothemiddle.com.
Yeah, Harold from St. Paul says, I believe the most important thing is for Congress to commit funds to a comprehensive system of training immigration judges, providing systems to accept or reject asylum requests. David in Kansas City writes, growing up in Orange County, California in the 60s, remembering dark green multifamily housing near the then citrus orchards and strawberry fields, there was no border problem with Mexico. Why? Because there was the Bracero labor program under which almost 5 million Mexicans were allowed to legally enter the United States and work.
Mary Sanchez, briefly, the Bracero labor program, can you just give our listeners what that is?
It means strong arms. It was a labor program when we needed labor. And we brought more people in. There were problems with it, though. They were sent back without their wages, many of them. It took decades to settle the lawsuits over that. But it literally was, it's like work visas, basically. And it was a federal program that answered somewhat of what I would argue we still need to do, is just allow people to work here more legally. And some of it might be, that was for a temporary. It was supposed to be a temporary labor fix, and people came up here and they did the work.
But that was in the 60s. That was, by the way, the 60s was the time.
It started in the 40s, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, stand by. A reminder, The Middle is available as a podcast in partnership with iHeart Podcasts on the iHeart app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So, Jeremy, we heard earlier about President Reagan and the Immigration Act in 86.
Right.
Now listen to former President Bill Clinton and how he talked about immigration during his State of the Union address in 1995.
We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
Wow, times have changed.
Absolutely. I want to remind y'all to rate the podcast. Wherever you listen to podcasts, hit us with those 5 stars.
Yes.
Come on.
And we will be right back after this.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira hybrid mattress, named best hybrid mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
This is The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We're talking about immigration and the U.S.-Mexico border. What do you think the federal government should be doing about it? You can call us at 844-4MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. You can also reach out to us at listentothemiddle.com. Let's go to Chi in Boise, Idaho. Chi, welcome to The Middle. Go ahead.
Well, hello. In Idaho, we have at least three different industries, whole industries, who are completely dependent on immigrant labor. And with the borders closed, even with all the different slowdowns, it's really, really hurt labor here in Idaho. And some of these industries, that's the only people that they can hire. And so immigration, however it happens, is essential for the state of Idaho.
Do your fellow Idahoans agree with you that the only way for these industries to work is with immigrant labor?
It is with the people who are in those industries. There's absolutely nobody else to hire. There's such a labor shortage here that restaurants close because we don't have people to staff them. And stores close. We have a real problem with labor right here. And so on these major industries within agriculture, dairy, meat packing, and a couple others, they're almost 100% immigrant labor.
Chi, thank you so much for that call. Mary Sanchez, it's interesting to me that there aren't any politicians on any side of any aisle who are making the case that we've got to have more immigrants coming in because our labor force requires it.
You hear it every now and then. And actually, I think when they're not on making a stump speech, when they're not trying to get through a primary, you'll hear it in more honest conversations. And frankly, from both, you know, Democrats, Republicans, independents, people who, you know, start looking at our economy and really looking at numbers and looking at labor force issues, they will wind up with that truth. And that reality is that we don't have enough people in our labor market. It's just, it's a demographics. If you look at the baby boomers alone, we're nearing closer to where Europe already is, Asia is as well. Whenever you have more people over the age of 65 than you do under the age of five, you're lopsided on your economy, and we're going to get there really quickly. And that's a problem. So that's why we need to we being Congress and the American public behind them, get about, you know, raising visa limits, creating the processes. Someone actually mentioned the immigration courts. They're so overloaded right now. We've got one here. It's on the fourth floor of a building really close to here. It's a law office. And, you know, there are attorneys that know just don't even show up, immigration attorneys, because they're so backlogged, they'll never hear their case.
Let's go to Perry in Oconto, Wisconsin. Perry, welcome to the middle. What do you think the government should do about immigration?
Yes, I think a lot of it's just a political issue that keeps the electorate inflamed, because in the past, I'm 60 years old, people could travel back and forth. They didn't need to bring their whole family because they could go back home, bring the money back, and then come back and work. And so I think a lot of it is the politicians, especially the Republicans, trying to make this a wedge issue.
Perry, thank you very much. Victor Trevino, it brings up a question of how things have changed over time. Are we really seeing that many more people? I mean, we talked about apprehensions being at a record, but are we really seeing that many more people overall compared to our population coming into the United States now?
Well, I think we've seen these recent waves and surges of immigrants coming from South America. We hadn't seen that amount of waves coming in before. But we can see, going back to the point, that immigrants are needed in this country. The birth of people here in the country are dwindling. Families are not having any more children or having one or two. So the workforce is depleted. So what are we going to do without immigrants? And as it is, the United States was built on the efforts on the backs of immigrants. This is a country of immigrants. So we have to look at reality. We have to put politics aside. One of the things that people might be afraid of, or some politicians, says how the immigrants are gonna vote if they become legal.
Let's go to Hector, who is in Boston, Massachusetts. Hector, welcome to the middle.
Hi, good evening, Jeremy.
Good evening. Go ahead.
Okay, my response is going to be brief and simple. Immigration is not a problem. Politicians make it a problem. We've had immigration since the birth of the nation. We're going to continue to have immigration. The resolution will be quite simple. A lot of people will not want to leave their families. They do so out of necessity or for other issues. If we were to create something like the Marshall Plan, which we did in Europe, ultimately became the EU, and our very strong allies are now, it would be a lot cheaper. We would build up the economies of Latin American countries. There would be more anti-state in their countries, and, you know, knock down the inflow of immigration. The vast majority of these people are not terrorists or no problems, despite what other people may say, because the proof is there. If so many immigrants are coming in, why aren't we under attack like in 9/11? I mean, politicians keep this alive because they garnered votes. And that's the only reason that they keep this away alive, and let's build this up and let's build that up. That's not going to work. It has to begin at home. It has to begin at their home, and it will pay off. Even if we spend billions of dollars now, it will be trillions of dollars that we will save down the line.
Hector, thank you so much. Mary Sanchez, a Marshall Plan for Latin America. I mean, this has been talked about certainly since President Biden came into office, of trying to spend more money in some of the countries where a lot of people are coming from to make them safer and make people want to stay there. But it hasn't worked yet.
No, I mean, the caller makes a lot of really good points. And actually, I want to say it is called something like a Marshall is in the name of some of our federal government reach outs to other countries. Part of what is affecting, you know, the mayor at the southern border is that there's a huge global disruption. You know, there are more migrants now in the world globally because of so many things, because of war, because of famine, drought, climate change. You just saw what happened in Ecuador this week. I mean, that involves drug cartels, horrific, you know, violence. We're impacted by that. We are part of the global migration that is occurring. So that's very true. you know, and at the same time, it was also true, as another caller said, is that people did used to come back and forth across the border much more openly. But the patterns have always been kind of the same. Generally, you know, a man might come up here first and work for a bit, send money back. He'll go back and forth, get more settled here. Perhaps he'll meet someone, marry, have children, mm-hmm. and then start establishing more roots, and then more family will come. We need to have our processes to allow that to occur legally. That's all we're saying. We have that now, but not to the extent that we need, given everything that is occurring in the world.
Let's go to Gene in Wyoming.
Oh,
Gene.
Man.
Gene, you there?
I am here, yes, I am here.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, first of all, I have five really good issues, but she told me I could only...
Yeah, just pick one. How about that?
So... In every country, every country is represented and controlled by dictatorships, including the United States at the moment. If all those dictators were removed from office and replaced from good, decent, honest political representatives that would provide life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness to citizens of every country, including the United States, then these people would want to stay in their own countries, and they wouldn't want to have to cross the border to come over here to think they're going to get a better life, because a better life in the United States does not exist.
Okay, well, so no dictators, and just to be very clear, we don't have a dictator as president in this country right now. Let's go to Christina in Sarasota, Florida. Christina, you've got a question.
I do. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Fantastic. Yes, I wanted to pose a question for your guests on the air this evening. Earlier, you shared that, you know, the average American doesn't fully understand what's happening at the border, and I think there's some truth to that. I have to admit, you know, I'm almost 50. I've lived in the United States. My mom's an immigrant. I believe in immigration. I guess my question is, what's going on at the border right now feels different to me, and what I can't seem to nail down is why. What is the complexity that's happening at the border right now that there's just this massive influx of immigrants? And, you know, I can't ever seem to get an answer to that. And I'm hoping those that are on your you know, show this evening can maybe shed some light, because they're in that area. And I do not know fully what's taking place.
Great, great question, Christina. Thank you. Mayor Trevino, it does feel different. Does it feel different to you, or how would you respond to Christina?
Yes, we see that these recent immigration waves have been different than before. There's a lot of factors to this. And the United States have been already influenced by coyotes, human traffickers, and cartels, people that make money from moving people or human trafficking, or even charging the immigrants to come over. So this is basically, I think, has become a business for them also. So that's one of the factors. The other factor is that they're fleeing from treachery and robbery and all that happens in their country, and a better way of life. So we understand that, like I said initially, immigrants are right now refugees, and it's a little bit different. So that also is another factor why we're having more waves now.
Hi, Mary Sanchez. This is your trusty DJ Tolliver. In my home city of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, the mayor, has taken a shellacking for the way he's handled the migrant crisis. I wanted to know, in Kansas City, how risky is it for a politician to be sort of pro-migrant in this environment?
Well, it's more to the state. Well, actually, Kansas City, Kansas as well. Where I am right now, I'm in Kansas City, Missouri. But I could literally take off running and end up at, well, I'd have to run pretty fast, but the state line is really close. We are a two-state, a bi-state Missouri and Kansas region. Mm. Kansas City, Kansas passed within their city, it's a unified government like Indianapolis, a welcoming laws, basically trying to be more welcoming to immigrants. They're the most diverse portion of the greater Kansas City area. There was a backlash immediately through the Kansas state legislature. So it can become very political very quickly. Unfortunately, that is on the backs of immigrants. It's very unfair. But yes, it can.
We're getting some comments in online. Paul writes, much of the conversation about immigration is emotionally fueled instead of what's the best approach. I think strategic wall building is good in some places. I think an electronic wall needs to be expanded in some places. Mayor Trevino, what about that? We've been hearing about that for years. Well, you know, we don't need to build a real wall because you could just have technology, but it hasn't been really done yet, has it?
Yes, we need border security, absolutely. And border physical walls are not needed in some places like in our city, Laredo, Texas. We have the least illegal immigration crossings. But there's some places that are by themselves. There's no cities nearby. Those could probably benefit from a physical wall. So it is depending on the area. But absolutely, border security is a must. I agree with that.
Let's get one more call in. Darian is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hi, Darian. Welcome to the middle. Go ahead.
Hello. My name is Darian Edwards People, and I'm against illegal immigration because illegal immigration is a slap in the face to all immigrants who are trying to get here legally. And I'm not against legal immigration. I'm against illegal immigration when so many illegal immigrants are allowed to run across the U.S. border. You're gonna have so many people. You're gonna have people from other countries to clog up U.S. government assets, from Texas local government assets, Louisiana local government assets. When you're housing so many illegal immigrants, how can you stop it? You can stop it by sending everybody back home as soon as they get here, or the U.S. government can put tariffs on goods coming from Mexico or Honduras or Guatemala, or whatever. You can put tariffs on goods coming from those countries for those countries to do something. How can you let so many people run through the country of Mexico, run through the whatever countries on the other border of Mexico? How can the Mexican government let all those people travel through their country? I guess they say, hey, it's not our problem. Let them go. It's going to be their problem.
All right, Darian, we've got it there. Mary Sanchez, just briefly, a response to that, because that is a view that is common in a lot of the United States.
Yeah, well, one thing, and the mayor has spoken to this, is that it is our relationship with Mexico and other countries that is very much involved. And we do work with, as a nation, with Mexico about how they manage migrants coming up through their country to reach us. So that is part of it. The other thing is we do deport. We deport all the time. I haven't checked lately, but there used to be a plane that would go out of KCI, Kansas City, every Friday at noon. That was just full. It was deportees. So the idea that no one is being shoved out is not right.
It's not correct. Do have time before we wrap up this hour for a quiz, Tolliver, for our guests.
Absolutely. So according to Pew, between 2017 and 2021, two states saw an uptick in unauthorized immigrants. If you can name one of them, you get a mug from the middle. Okay? And you can jump in whenever you're ready.
Either of you have a guess on that?
Probably Texas.
Yeah, Texas.
It was Washington and Florida.
Washington and Florida. Wow. Okay.
Shocking.
Wow. Very interesting.
Get you, you know.
Well, what a fascinating conversation. Really amazing calls, and you've both been wonderful. Mayor Victor Trevino in Laredo, Texas, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Mary Sanchez, senior correspondent at Kansas City PBS and columnist for Tribune Media, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
And Tolliver, what do we have on tap for next week?
Next week, we're talking about China and its relationship with the United States.
It is already a big topic in this election. Everybody wants to show how tough they are on China, but also it is the second largest economy in the world, a growing military power. And of course, there are concerns about what may happen with Taiwan and what the U.S. would do if China used military force to take Taiwan.
Yes. So call us with your questions and comments at 844-464-3353 or write in at listentothemiddle.com. And while you're there, sign up for our weekly newsletter.
The Middle is brought to you by Longnook Media, distributed by Illinois Public Media in Urbana, Illinois, and produced by Joanne Jennings, Harrison Patino, John Barth, and Danny Alexander. Our technical director is Jason Croft. Our theme music was composed by Andrew Haig. Thanks also to Nashville Public Radio, iHeartMedia, and the more than 380 public radio stations around the country that are making it possible for people across the country to listen to The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Talk to you next week.
Still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.